Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to take this time to thank you for listening to our radio broadcast this morning. We encourage you to listen each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to answer your questions by opening up God's Word and giving you a Bible answer for those questions. We encourage you to write those questions to the Harrisburg Church of Christ, 1369 U.S. 127 Bypass, Harrisburg, Kentucky, 40330. We also encourage you to visit our website, churchofchristatharrisburg.com. You will find many valuable resources in aiding you in your study of God's Word. We also invite you to our worship services. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the time of our worship services, and we cordially invite you to any of those services. You will always be warmly received. Our question this morning concerns a statement made in Matthew 9 and verse 12. Let's read the passage, Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 12. When Jesus heard that, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick." The questioner says, "Can you explain why Jesus is called the great physician?" As a small boy, I formed a dislike for certain doctors. I can almost see the needle and feel the shot I was about to get even before it happened. Yet, to be honest, most of the time his medicine is just what I needed to get over whatever illness that might be plaguing me. I have since learned that sometimes distasteful things are needed to get over an illness. I may not have understood it then, but I do now. We learn to respect and love the doctor who prescribes a thing that makes us well and healthy and fit. Yet there is one we should desire even more in the realm of spiritual sickness. In this passage, Jesus is called the great physician in dealing with the greatest sickness that man has, and that is spiritual sickness, the sickness of sin. Why? Because he cares for us. There are many of God's children who are spiritually sick. They have sins in their lives and they need curing. And Jesus, the great physician, came just to do that for mankind. "I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly." John 10, verse 10. This doctor is not self-serving, but most unselfish. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Matthew 20:28. Jesus made it quite clear as to whom he ministered. Those who are well have no need of a physician, but only those who are sick. He came to call the righteous, not the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. Mark 2, verse 17. Yet as spoiled little children may turn from a loving great physician because they find his prescription distasteful, rather than accept the life-giving cure offered, they persist in sin and even become more sick. What can Jesus do but lament, "But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life"? John chapter 5 and verse number 40. My dear friend, are you willing to forfeit eternal life because you do not like the taste of the Lord's medicine? Many do not. Some things that promote poor health. In the book of God, he gave some clear commands for us to follow. Whenever one rejects God's counsel and makes their own, they are endangering their spiritual health. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. John 4, verse 24. The mind of the true worshiper can't be in the devil's territory, dwelling on Satan's business and yet not his Lord's. Jesus denounced some of the practices of the religious people during his time upon the earth. "These people draw near to me with their mouth, honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men." Matthew 15, 8 and 9. Whenever men turn from the Lord's teaching to the dogmas and doctrines and creeds of their particular persuasion, their worship becomes vain. They are spiritually sick, and Satan loves it because it's another soul won away from God. We must follow the doctor's orders. If we want to maintain good spiritual health, then we must worship Him in spirit and in truth. To do less endangers our spiritual health. We need to reject anything that can endanger our relationship with Jesus Christ. Not only do I trust my doctor to restore my health, I also want him to explain to me how to avoid that which endangers my future well-being. Even so, when the great physician has healed us from sin, when we initially obey the gospel, we are instructed how to avoid future contamination. The one who was a thief was told, "Let him steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need." Ephesians 4, verse 28. This is the result of true repentance, a change in one's life. Restitution is not repentance. It comes because of repentance. Whatever you sin may have been, forgiveness demands a change of life. Paul asks this question, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in grace? Should we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer therein?" Romans 6, 1 and 2. If the sin is not discontinued, then there has been no true repentance. The sinful practices and all allegiance to Satan must be abandoned. If we want the great physician to continue to help us, we must continue to reject Satan and all his enticements. Why? He is a danger to our spiritual well-being, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, "God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hearts, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded." James 4, 6-8. Yes, the great physician gives us medicine in his word that can maintain good spiritual health. Are you willing to take the medicine to prolong and secure your good spiritual health? It's a choice that man has. He had a choice to obey God when he initially obeyed the gospel. He has a choice whether or not to continue to maintain good spiritual health by doing the things that God tells him to do, and avoiding the things that God has instructed him will cause his spiritual health to be damaged. What does the great physician expect of his saints? Paul laid down some strict guidelines for God's people. "If then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting on the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God." Colossians 3, 1-3. How much does God expect of his patients? What is lost if one fails to adhere to the medicine prescribed? Listen prayerfully to the words of the Apostle Peter. "For if, after you've escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then again entangle in them and are overcome, the latter end is worse for you than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to a true proverb, 'The dog returns to his own vomit, and the sow having washed her wallowing in the mire.'" 2 Peter 2, 20-22. Is this not a revolting picture? Does it end here? Why would the end be worse than the beginning? The sickness at the end will be worse than it was when we first sought his help. For if we sin willfully, after we receive a knowledge of the truth, there is no longer remains a sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Hebrews 10, 26 and 27. What are the valid reasons for Christ to take such measures? Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you suppose will be thought worthy who have trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? Hebrews chapter 10, 28 and 29. God expects us to follow the directions on the medicine bottle, not to just look at it, but to follow it and to maintain it. Well, some will say, I can't live above sin. Many years ago, Flip Wilson won the hearts of many people by a little catchy phrase, the devil made me do it. Yet this is an excuse. It does not get the Christian off the hook. God made us a promise. No temptation has overtaken you except is common to man, but God is faithful that he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. Paul's faith was in the great physician, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 10. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Philippians 4, verse 13. Peter expressed it in another way. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. James also wrote, indeed we count them blessed who endured. We have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end attended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. James 5 verse 11. You can underline this with big bold letters. God will help us rise above every trial and temptation that may be presented before us. Listen to these comforting passages from the great physician. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Hebrews 10:23. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can men do to me? Hebrews 13:5-6. Yes, we can live above the disease. We can live above the temptation to go back to things that caused us spiritual sickness. If we take the Lord's preventive medicine, we can maintain good spiritual health. The only question you need to ask yourself, will you take the Lord's medicine and will you apply his remedy? Yes, he is the great physician. He was sent into the world to help with man's greatest need. That was the sin problem. Without the death of Christ upon the cross, men would have no remedy for sin. Sin was something man could not take care of by himself. Therefore, the Father sent the Son in order to die, to pay a ransom, that we might, through his death, have the eternal benefit of having our sins washed away, where we could be justified, sanctified, cleansed, and stand before God, free of guilt and condemnation, that we might have a relationship with him that would last throughout all eternity. The great physician was the one that made that all possible. Yet, dear listener, that great physician encourages us and commands us that to maintain good spiritual health, that we have to continue to listen to our spiritual doctor. His prescription and his medicine is found in his word. And by reading it, studying it, meditating upon it, and most of all, obeying it and applying it to our lives, we can maintain good spiritual health. Dear listener, what kind of spiritual health are you in today? Do you need the great physician? Open up his book, see his remedy, and apply it while you have time and opportunity. That's why he came, that's why he died, and that's why he left the instruction that we might maintain good spiritual health. Thank you for your question. Tune in again next Lord's Day. Have a wonderful day.